This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
With Danny, I'm Grant, a Darris Dameron, Ryan Clary production. We are live on The Fan, taking you up to 6:30 tonight. Kick off your future with the law firm of Kondorian Murad, the official G&D show sponsor. They'll help protect your assets, update your will and trust, schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com. Mention the show to get a discount, kmlawyers.com. Danny, we are at Rudy's Golf for opening day tomorrow.
Yes, the boys are hanging out. You know Rudy's Golf. It's Thursday, which means we're going back to Rudy's Golf, which I love. JP and B. Mitch will be there all morning for their show. We'll be there for like 90-plus minutes hanging out. We'll be there probably longer than that. I think I might bring the golf clubs out, by the way, and start whacking some golf balls before the game starts.
You're not going to hit golf balls.
I've been thinking about it, actually, because I think the wife is going to take the kids to her mom's. Might be out of the house, so I might not have any responsibilities. I might come smack some golf balls around.
Over-under is set at one half of a golf ball being hit by you tomorrow. I'm taking the under.
Well, you want to bet?
Ryan is also taking the under, for the record. He's got his thumb down.
I could be the third Porter brother. I'll bet on myself there.
We were at Rudy's Golf for 17 weeks during the football season.
Uh-huh.
You didn't hit a single golf ball. We're going back.
Well, during those times, I didn't. But I came on the weekends multiple times. Came with my kids a bunch.
So you're going to hit a golf ball tomorrow.
I might.
Danny Routier?
He's a golfer.
Two bays, two levels worth of bays, I should say. There's actually over 70 bays. Double deck driving range with the top tracer tech, putt-putt courses, full restaurant, great food, fun for the whole family. Rudy'sGolf.com. Rudy's Golf is the new go-to spot for golf and entertainment. We told you we'd be giving away Caps tickets, so let's do that right now. Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. Congrats, you're winning two tickets to see the Capitals April 7th against Ottawa. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event info, go to thefandc.com/events, courtesy of Monumental Sports. We are awaiting Ted Leonsis addressing the media to discuss the Caps and the Wiz staying in Washington, D.C. We will let you know what he says as soon as that comes our way. Should be a press conference here within the next few minutes. While we wait, there's a few other major things going on today on Grant and Danny. First, Jaden Daniels Pro Day in Baton Rouge today, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it went pretty well. He's throwing in shorts. He's one of the great athletes on the planet, and he's one of the best quarterback prospects over the last couple of years. Heisman Trophy winner, 50 touchdowns, 4 picks this year. The big question is, after Caleb Williams goes one, is he the guy Washington pounces on and falls in love with? Might they surprise everybody and move back? Could J.J. McCarthy, Drake May be the selection? Daniel's day in the spotlight today.
Yeah, it's his turn for it. I mean, the intrigue is certainly there, right? This is a guy that kind of paid his dues when it came to college football. Improved pretty much steadily every year over the start of his career. Had kind of a rough go of it for a first couple seasons at Arizona State, but just sort of continued to get better, and then the light went on. It's honestly reminiscent of what happened with Joe Burrow, where he was fine, was pretty good.
The light went on, and he got a lot of help.
Well, it certainly
and
happened.
I'm not trying to knock him, but I mean, you go to LSU,
yeah.
you play in Brian Kelly's offense with two first-round receivers, mm-hmm. you get a lot better pretty quickly. But also, his game elevated immensely. He can run. He can throw. He is a fantastic prospect. I use that word because, you know, obviously, being a pro, that's by definition what you are. Mm-hmm. But I mean in terms of the upside, the potential, what he's laced with, the game he's got, it's just different. It's unique. Right. He's got a chance to be a game changer.
Yeah, someone who with that athletic skill set who can make every throw, it scouts drool over that kind of stuff, right? It's just impossible to find, and yet there he is staring you right there in the face. Somebody that could throw that effectively, make every throw in the book, and then also, by the way, ho-hum, run for 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns. Not in the Mountain West, not in the AAC. No. This is in the SEC, going up against some of the best and brightest, man. Pretty incredible.
Speaking of the talent around him and some of these quarterbacks, I actually, for the first time today, saw this quantified. You and I have been kind of bouncing back and forth between Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy. Now, how do we rank them in terms of who gets the most help from their supporting cast, who had the best receivers, backs, what have you? Well, PFF grades out what is their version of WAR. Mm-hmm. So this is wins above average, is what they call it, WAA, for every player. If you look at the quarterbacks in this class, PFF came out with the supporting cast WAR for the past 2 years with the guys around them that they have been playing with offensively. Caleb Williams, around him, the players were worth 2.5 wins, his supporting cast. Jaden Daniels, only 2.2 wins. So a little worse supporting help, so to speak, than Williams. J.J. McCarthy had the most help of the big four, 2.7 wins above replacement from his supporting cast. Bo Nix of Oregon, who of course was at Auburn before that, 3.6 wins around him. I think a lot of that has to do with the quality of the offensive line. Obviously, some receivers that can make plays, always speed out of the backfield as well. 3.6 wins. So if you're looking most to least help, Nix, then McCarthy, then Williams, then Daniels. But how about this? All those guys were between 2.2 and 3.6 wins. Drake May, negative 0.04, meaning his supporting cast actually hurt more than they helped. The other guys, a couple of wins worth. Bo Nix, 3.5 wins worth of help. Drake May, minus 0.04. And that is a quantified version of what we've talked a lot about when people watch Drake May and they go, I don't like what I'm seeing. The film's kind of muddy. There's a lot of players around him that aren't going to be playing in the NFL. That's not quite the same for LSU, for USC.
No, it's certainly not. I mean, so is that, again, it's a data point. It's good for those kind of conversations. Because one of my big questions on Drake May is, why wasn't he dominant? Why weren't the numbers better? There's your reason right there, by the way. Right? I mean, he is an outstanding prospect, no question about that. But, you know, when you're going, is this a great throw? And the guy's not there, or is it a bad throw and the guy was there? You know what I mean? It's always hard to parse those things up. That puts a quantifier to it. I mean, but, you know, is it definitive? Does it mean that if a guy has bad supporting cast, he'll be great in the NFL? You don't know necessarily, but again, it's an instructive data point. Like, Joe Burrow had Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. Joe Burrow's excellent. He's outstanding. He's awesome in the NFL, too, right? He was great in college, great in the NFL now. He's one of the top 3 or 4 quarterbacks in the game. So it's not always one-to-one, but it's an important and instructive data point to sort of, I think, quantify the numbers that we see, right, when guys are putting up stats.
The other of these stories we've been tracking today is the Caps playoff chase after last night in the biggest game of their season. They gained a point on the Detroit Red Wings, so they are now 2 points in the clear in the wild card. If you look at the standings, they still play Detroit again, so the Red Wings could catch them. That'll be like every game the rest of the way, basically. Mm-hmm. They got 11 left. That'll be the biggest game of their season when they play that one. But don't look now. The Caps 1 point behind the Flyers. Flyers went to overtime, lost last night. So they could even get in as the third team in the Metro if they catch Philly. They're 2 games in hand. So let's just say you only win one of those two. They would still surpass Philadelphia at this point, playing .500 over those 2 games, being within 1 point. They finished the season with a head-to-head matchup with the Flyers that could be massive. This was the call last night, as heard right here on 106.7, the Fan, from our guy John Walton, as the Caps in overtime on an unbelievable feed from John Carlson got a game winner from Dylan Strome.
And the Caps do get it back. LaPierre's speed making an impact. Gets it to Strome. Across to Carlson. Back to Strome. He scores! Dylan Strome! Game winning goal in overtime. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Detroit. Washington's lead for the wild card is at 2. They take down the Wings. 4-3, the final.
John Walton, every game right here on The Fan, that is a damn good call.
Yes, sir. And it's good that he called a win for the Washington Capitals. I mean, your bottom line is this. You keep playing the way that you're playing. Not like in the Jay Gruden sense where
they're
you go,
playing,
they're playing how they're playing. Where you've won, what is it, 8 of the last 11, 6 of the last 7. You're now playing so well that the standings are going to take care of themselves. You're the red-hot team that's sprinting and walking down these other teams that are floundering a little bit up ahead of you. It's not as if, you know, like Philadelphia and Detroit have been bad. Washington's just been unbelievable basically since, you know, the first full weekend in March. So, yeah, you keep playing this way. I guarantee the standings will work just fine.
The Wizards are preparing for what could be a fourth consecutive win, Daniel. They are
hot right now.
On the floor tonight at home, they're taking on the Brooklyn Nets over at Capital One Arena, where we're awaiting a Ted Leonsis press conference with the mayor of Washington, D.C., Muriel Bowser, announcing that both the Caps and the Wiz are staying in D.C. moving forward. They're not going to be headed to Virginia. But the Nets, that's only a 27-45 team, man. They're better than the Wizards, but they're not good. Washington could absolutely win this game and make it 4 in a row.
It's a bunch of guys that are not household names that are doing it. I mean, Johnny Davis got the start the other night for them.
Yeah, I would say their roster during this winning streak is probably worse than it's been all year. In terms of, you know, new players or just guys that weren't expected to be here. I went to a game they played against the Rockets right before this winning streak, and you could have played a who's that guy game with the Wizards' own roster at their home game. When Johnny Davis is in the starting lineup.
Well, it's guys that are looking to you know, make a stamp and be in the league. I mean, everyone from Rashawn Holmes, where they got 15 boards the other night, to guys like Jules Bernard, who are on two-way contracts, and Justin Champagne hit a huge shot down the stretch. Those kinds of dudes are looking to stay in the league. It's fun.
Here's what I don't get. I keep seeing Wizards fans being upset that they don't have the worst record, as if you need the worst record to have the best chance at the number one pick. Now, there's lottery balls at play here, obviously, so it's a luck of the draw thing. The teams with the three worst records all have identical chances to get the number one pick. So whether you win one game and you have the worst record or 22 games and you have the third worst record, you're going to have a 14% chance to get the number one pick. The problem would be if the Wizards overtook, I'm using air quotes here, by way of getting too good, the San Antonio Spurs, who are two games better than them right now, who also just won their last game. Hell is freezing over when the Spurs and the Wizards are both winning on the same night. But they would have to overtake San Antonio and overtake the Charlotte Hornets to get to the four spot. If they could get to Charlotte right now, 17-54, three and a half games better than the Wizards, they'd have to catch both of them for their odds to go down from 14%. At that point, it'd be just 12.5%, so still a pretty good opportunity. But really, the bottom line is you want them to finish in the bottom three.
Yes.
Doesn't matter where. So we could have our cake and eat it, too. We could actually see some wins, which I think would be nice. But still, as long as you're the third worst team in the NBA, you have the tied best opportunity for the number one pick.
Yeah, the people are a little worried that they're kind of overdoing it. they're a little bit too hot.
I'm definitely
seeing that. Oh, 100%. 100%. Because here's what's happened. Teams like Charlotte, they haven't won in a month, basically, is how it feels. And they have packed it in, as has Portland. I mean, the Spurs have been right there with Washington and Detroit kind of all season long, you know. But, yeah, a team like Toronto is dreadful now, and they've packed it in. They're resting everybody. So, all of a sudden, like, you win enough games, why don't you slow down with that? Let's make sure you're in the top three.
Earlier today, the mayor of Alexandria came out and announced that he'd be releasing a statement. That's when we really knew something fishy was happening. He said that the relationship with the Caps Wizards Monumental was going to be the subject of the statement. This came on the heels of a bevy of tweets from Ted Leonsis today on X, where he was talking about how great Capital One Arena is and how basically how much wonderful business has been done downtown in D.C. thanks to the Wizards, the Capitals, the ACC tournament, concerts, and all of the things that have been going on recently. A real changing of the tone from Leonsis about D.C., about Capital One Arena, but also the mayor of Alexandria is saying, I got something to say. So you and I started connecting some dots and speculating. Well, sure enough, right around 4 o'clock today, Justin Wilson, the mayor in Alexandria, released a statement.
We participated in the legislative process in Richmond as it represented the necessary first step towards the important community conversation about this project. With stagnant revenue growth that is strained to meet the costs of education, public safety, human services, transportation, and infrastructure, that conversation would have allowed us to consider how a project of this scale could support our plans for growth and our community's future. We are disappointed that this proposal was not able to be thoughtfully considered on its merits by legislators, stakeholders, and ultimately now by our community, and instead got caught up in partisan warfare in Richmond. As a result, the city of Alexandria will no longer be considering the current proposal and will instead turn our focus to other efforts to bring quality commercial opportunities to the community in the future, to both diversify our tax base and protect our quality of life.
That's what he said. Here's what I heard. We wanted an arena. We tried. We got screwed over in the state Senate. And so we're not going to have an arena. We'll see you guys in a little while. Yeah.
We don't get anything.
I'm going to go back to my vacation.
That's right.
Wherever he's chilling right now with the wall behind him, I'm going to go back to doing what I'm doing. Working hard for the people of Alexandria or wherever he is today.
Mm-hmm.
But see ya. We're not getting the arena.
Okay, bye.
That's what I heard there.
Yeah, ball game. It's this is one of those, this was out of our control, not my fault type deals. And that's what they were trying to stress, I think.
Which I believe.
Yeah, which
I think that's what happened.
Yeah, I would tend to agree that it was that, but yeah. They want to make sure everybody knows that.
Wizards and Caps are not moving to Virginia, and it's not because Alexandria didn't make a valiant effort. I think we know what happened. Basically, at the state Senate, there was never a vote. They never got to discuss it. Senator Lucas shut it down. And then Ted goes to Maryland and talks to Wes Moore, and he says, what's going on with Maryland?
What's up with y'all?
Slides that blueprint across the desk and says, what do you think? And now he's back in D.C. with Muriel Bowser. Speaking of which, have you seen this video?
Yeah, I'm watching it now.
Show DM. So this is from NBC4 Sports. It says, hugging it out, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser and Monumental Sports and Entertainment owner Ted Leonsis, as well as Zach Leonsis, share an embrace and pose for some pics with the news that the Wizards and the Caps are staying in D.C. Oof. I mean, we know.
Just lifelong friends. We're great friends.
We saw what happened. Is this Phil Mendelson?
I think that's Phil Mendelson.
Let's go right now to the mayor at the podium. They're starting the presser.
The nations and continue to invest in catalytic initiatives and businesses that will bring the district all the way back. This is what I know about my hometown, that we are growing jobs in Washington, D.C. Am I right? That our tourism is rebounding, am I right? And that our restaurants, we have the highest per capita restaurant starts in the nation. Oh, yeah. That we are working together to drive crime down in all categories, that we are coordinated in our approach, and that several months ago, we came together as a city, and we said, we're gonna fight for our teams. We put together what we thought was the best offer. It is an offer that's not only good for the teams, it's good for Washington, D.C., and I dare say is good for this entire region. We will stand up to our commitment to invest $500 million in the total transformation of Capital One Arena in downtown Washington. We, with the teams, have identified additional opportunities to expand their footprint right here in downtown, and we're also going to invest $15 million in that. And as Ted likes to say, we're going to be together for a long time. So our agreement will allow us to at least be partners until 2050. So with that, I'll turn to Council Chairman Mendelson to see if he has any statements, and then we'll hear from Monumental Sports.
Thank you, Mayor, and good afternoon to everyone. Just to be clear, you said 2050, 50, not 15, which would be actually going back in time. You know, when we were looking at December, everybody saw how important Monumental is to the city and to the downtown. We also saw that there was a lot of opportunity to really build on what's here already, which is where we are right now. I want to thank Ted Leonsis for working with us and for being willing to continue to be a partner. And yes, I do feel some of the love. That refers to a story that he was telling about me earlier. I do want to acknowledge all the council members who are here, and there are a couple who aren't, who would be here other than other commitments. Janice Lewis-George from Ward 4, Christina Henderson at large, Robert White at large, Brooke Pinto, Ward 2. Are we in Ward 2 right now?
Yes, we are.
Matt Fruman, Ward 3, Zachary Parker, Ward 5. Charles Allen was here earlier, and Anita Bonds was here earlier, and the other members were not.
Kenyon McDuffie.
Kenyon McDuffie. Yeah, he couldn't be here. And Vincent Craig couldn't be here, and Trayon has the flu, I think. So this is to show that, and actually this was true back in December, when you sent the bill down. Every council member co-sponsored that legislation because the council's been standing together with the mayor. I'm really glad that this day has come. So thank you all very much.
Thank you.
So the mayor wants me to get serious. So this legislation was introduced in December, but it's a permanent bill and we have our own processes. So the mayor today submitted to the council legislation for us to consider next Tuesday. Tomorrow morning, I will circulate to members notice, which I'm required to do, that we will put before the council. The council on Tuesday will vote to approve $515 million in the capital budget that's paid over the next 3 years, which is our commitment to keep Monumental here and to ensure that we have a world-class facility. I am confident that will go through the council. And I do want to be clear that we're not talking about the operating budget, which goes against programs. We're talking about the capital budget, on which there is the ability for us to provide the funding. That's what we offered in December, and that's what we're going to vote on next Tuesday. It's easier to do business in the District of Columbia.
Hey.
And in some other jurisdictions.
So Ted, you have the floor.
Ted Leonsis stepping to the microphone. You're listening to the live press conference, Capital One Arena. The Caps and the Wiz are staying in D.C.
A great day, and I'm really relieved. The mayor and Phil deserve all the credit. I had a difficult conversation with them and said, we can still be friends. Let's take the high road. I haven't signed anything. You never know how things are going to end. And the mayor pinged me, reached out to me, texted me, and then we started having our dates. We have the worst investigative reporting infrastructure anywhere. We would go pretty much every week, every other week, to the main couch in the lobby at the Waldorf. And I would jump up and run to the bar and get some drinks, and we would sit, but we would talk about what's the vision for the city. Because what I was most interested in is how we're going to reinvent, reimagine, be in this together. And the amount of work that has been done since December is extraordinary. First, there was the reinvention of downtown, the $400 million block of monies and the committee that was created. And I read every word of that. And I clicked it and I sent it to all of our people and said, hey, you should read this. There's a lot of good thinking, good work expanding downtown, focusing on quality of life, trying to bring more people in to be residents here. 15,000 people, that's a really, really manageable kind of number. Then we had a new crime law. And, you know, I'm not a politician, but I looked at that as we're putting a flag in the ground about quality of life and quality of business, and that this area is important, and that we want to be in service to the businesses, to the residents, and to our teams, because we bring in, we convene lots of people. This month, March, that's why I tweeted it, because I knew I would be here tonight, we'll bring 400,000 people to downtown. It's the most we've ever brought in. So I worry about people. I worry about how did they get here? How's the metro working? Are the traffic lights synced? I mean, that's what we do. And I really got the sense that that's what everyone wants to band together. How do we make this the greatest downtown? And you can't do it alone. And I felt that we were really in a good partnership, as opposed to where I thought I would have a great partnership. Now, they did have one thing that we didn't have, and the mayor identified, and we talked about.
So that's Ted Leonsis in Washington, D.C. right now at Capital One Arena addressing the media. We will get back to that in just a moment.
Wow. Wow. This is like season three of The Wire, or like an HBO show. Something like that. The turnaround that everybody's best friends again.
Season three of The Wire is a good pick.
That's what it is, man.
I mean, politics, baby. They're hugging. They're hanging out. I want to know. I'd love to have some off-the-record conversations, a little truth serum passing around.
I'd love to have that fly-on-the-wall type things for a couple of those knockdown dragouts in December and January. A
couple of things, though. It is very obvious to me. I mean, Ted Leonsis in that story in The Post, one of his big frustrations was he used to be given 27 police officers at Capital One Arena, and they now supplied him three, and he had to pay for the other 24. And he basically said, I'm trying to keep people safe coming to and from my games in a neighborhood that is not quite as safe as it was many years ago. And that was one of his big frustrations. What did you hear him talk about there? We are bringing 400,000 people to this area. 400,000 downtown to D.C. this month in March alone. I care about them getting to and from the arena. He mentioned the crime bill. You know, the renewed, it seems like, emphasis and effort being put forth to try to make sure that his patrons are safe. It seems like that was a major part of the deliberations over the last couple of months. But 400,000 people coming downtown. Think about if the arena was lost. You know, when we talk about, oh, well, Ted Leonsis is getting a handout and he's getting handed all this money. This arena does a lot of good for a lot of businesses and a lot of folks in that neighborhood. And the 400,000 people that have come there and spent money in March are going to benefit the city. But he wants to make sure that you can get your family to and from the arena in a safe way.
Yeah, which is very reasonable, by the way. It is currently an anchor there. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it is. It's what that neighborhood is built around. And it grew, you know, sort of beyond that and became, you know, office spaces and obviously a number of restaurants and living stuff that wasn't there before. So, you know, you could have done something else maybe with that, but that's a lot of work and it's really hard because that's there. It's there now. And another key part of this thing, it sounds like, I'm seeing enough people tweeting about this that I feel comfortable saying it, it sounds like a new practice facility is on the way too. That's the part I care about the most.
Where would that be?
So somewhere in downtown D.C. I don't know what that means exactly.
But still now, you have three venues. You've got St. Elizabeth's, you've got Cap 1.
To me, St. Elizabeth's is a non-starter. It's inadequate, it's wrong, it's bad, it's stupid, it should never have been there. It's pointless. A facility for the Wizards to practice downtown, either there, close to the arena, or some place in close proximity, that sounds like it's part of the deal, according to some folks that I'm seeing right now, which is a key thing.
Well, I'll go check out the rest of the presser tonight. You'll hear more of what he has to say with Linnell, and we'll have a lot more thoughts on this tomorrow. But news of the day, Caps Wiz staying in D.C. Everybody's happy. Just a bunch of hugs and kisses on the cheek.
We've been friends all along.
That's when we started having our dates, he said.
Oh, buddy.
Ted Leontis and Muriel Bowser.
At the Waldorf on the main couch.
Two best friends anyone could ever have. For Danny, I'm Grant, saying so long. Thanks to Darris. Thanks for Ryan. We are back at it at 2 o'clock tomorrow from Rudy's Golf in Kingstown, ahead of Nats opening day.
Thank you for coming.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.